Well, I want to say that it is wonderful to be here with you precious people today. And I just wanted to say that because I am thankful and appreciative for everything that you have done on our behalf and on my behalf and all of the prayers that you have prayed for us and for me and all of the calls and the cards and all of the food and the concern. I just cannot state it enough how grateful we are and thankful and how much love we feel in our hearts for all of you. I want to say a special thank you to the number of individuals who over the last month have filled in my absence, and it's been 28 days, a full lunar cycle since I've been able to preach. December the 1st was the last time that I preached here from this pulpit, and so I know there have been a lot of folks who have stepped in on my behalf, and they have done a fantastic job. I've listened to lessons, and just am so grateful for all of you and for what you have done, and I want to thank the elders for their kindness and concern and your patience as a congregation, and I'm hoping that things are going to continue to progress forward and going to get better and better and better as we go through it. So may not be doing a lot of movement today. The cameramen will probably be happy about that. Probably be a little more stationary this morning. But hopefully we're going to be able to get through our lesson today. But it's so wonderful to be here. And I heard Chris Bowers make the statement and Big Red make the statement from the pulpit the other day about what a privilege it is to get an opportunity to stand before you and what a privilege it is to be able to discuss God's Word with you. And we don't take that privilege or this opportunity lightly or for granted. And it's so good to be able to be back with you today. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be talking about how we should put away childish things. Put away childish things. The verse that I want us to focus on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is verse 11. He says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, he's not talking about putting away the childish toys necessarily here in this passage of Scripture. What he's talking about is this from a spiritual perspective. He's talking about how as Christians, it is time for us to grow up. It is time for us to mature. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. If I'm still speaking, understanding, and thinking as a child, it's time I grew up. It's time I grew up. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about how that they needed to grow up. They needed to become more spiritually mature in that congregation. They had allowed some of the things that were transpiring there in Corinth in regards to spiritual gifts, in regards to their behavior towards one another. Those things were childish. And as Christians, we got to make some changes. We got to make some changes. Now, when you think about this congregation, what we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that the members of the church in Corinth, although endowed with miraculous gifts and abilities. And we understand that those abilities were given so that they might confirm the word that was being taught to those people. We understand that from Mark chapter 16, 20 and Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. But despite the fact that these Christians had been endowed with spiritual abilities, these miraculous gifts, they still were guilty of acting like children. We're dealing here with Christians, and I want that to be something that resonates with you today. As you think about that, as you focus on these people in Corinth, these are Christians who have been endowed with miraculous abilities, and yet they were acting like children. So what were the childish things that they were supposed to put away? Well, Paul is going to address a little bit of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we were to make a list, we'll see here that he talks about jealousy. Now, he's describing these things as he's talking about how they ought to become people of love. But people of love Do not do these things, which apparently was happening there in that congregation. There were people that were guilty of jealousy. There were people there who were envious. There were people there who were behaving with arrogance. There were people there who were boasting. There were people there, dare I say, maybe even were behaving like bullies. You know, we hear about that term a lot these days, don't we? Bullying. And how that's become a big issue, and how we're trying to eradicate that from our schools and from congregations and from society. But to be quite honest with you, maybe even some of this was happening in the congregation at Corinth. There were some bullies there. Now, what I want us to also understand is this, and this is what we're going to address, and there's three things that I really want us to address in particular today, is that we find that these Christians in Corinth were arrogant. They were arrogant. Now, where did this arrogance come from? Well, I want to take a look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Number one, I want us to understand that they thought that their gift, or maybe even their standing in society, made them a more important piece of the church family. This seems to be the indication that Paul is arriving at here as he's writing this letter to correct many of the abuses that existed here within this congregation. So maybe they thought my gift, or maybe even my standing in society, makes me a more valued, important part of this church family. People have felt that way before. There were problems with this kind of thinking here in Corinth, and it may be that there are still occasions today where it happens in the Lord's church where some people believe themselves to be a more valued part or piece of the puzzle of the church family. Well, what we come to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is this, beginning in verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty." You know, Paul here, in writing to these Christians here, he's saying, listen, there's not one part of you that's more important than the other. We all make up this one part, this one body. And so there was some arrogance there. There may have even been some tension between Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, as seems to be indicated here in this particular passage of Scripture. And so when we think about some of the childish behaviors that took place there in the congregation at Corinth, one of those things was this, arrogance. Number two was this, they were competitive. They thought that their gift was more important than other gifts. Now, the first thing that we said is that they thought either their gift or their standing in society may have caused them to be a greater piece of the puzzle of the church. But now, we've come to this point where they actually believe that their gift itself is more valuable. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, we're not going to read all of that. It says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in the tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in the tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up." Now, what does this seem to indicate? It appears that the congregation here at Corinth had an infatuation with speaking in tongues. This was the preferred spiritual gift. Now, I was introduced to a young lady the other day that's 15 years old who speaks 5 different languages fluently and 2 others partially. That's pretty impressive to me. Maybe that was the idea here. Boy, I could speak in an unknown tongue. I could speak in a foreign language by the power of God. And they were utilizing that and they were thinking, you know, this is better. To the point that they were doing it in their congregations to the confusion of everyone. They had an infatuation with this. Paul says, listen, I hope that all of you can speak in a tongue, but I'd prefer that you prophesy. In other words, speak clearly so everybody in the church can understand you and everybody in the congregation can be built up. There's this competitiveness sometimes that exists within congregations. The third thing that we understand about their childish behavior is this. They were just rude sometimes. They were rude. They turned up their noses to their brethren in the belief that their brethren were inferior or less significant. They didn't treat them with love. We get an example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as Paul's addressing the problem with them coming together for their love feasts. In verse 20 says, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry. Another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. In other words, they were making distinctions between one another. It wasn't that he was saying, no, you shouldn't have a fellowship meal at your congregation. He was simply saying, you're abusing this. You're humiliating one another. You're behaving in a rude manner. You're acting like children. And it's time to put away childish things. Now, what's the answer? The answer to putting away the childishness was to become loving people. Become loving people. You know, in fact, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says that everything hinges on this. Everything. Listen to his opening comments. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now remember, we're talking about a congregation full of Christians here. What does Paul say? Everything hinges on this idea of love. You got to put away the childishness and you've got to be people of love. So what's the point for us? We've got to ask ourselves this question. Are we loving people? Are we loving people? Now, what I want to do for the remainder of the time is I want to ask us a series of questions, and I want each of us mentally to think about these things. And I want us to think about them on a personal level. And I want you to understand that when I ask some of these questions, I want you to know that I'm not saying that there's not a benefit, that people aren't going to get a benefit, but what I'm going to ask you to think about is the benefit to you when it comes to your spirituality, when it comes to your Christianity. You go to Matthew chapter 16, and we talk about what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? My question then, first of all, is this. If you lose your soul, you have lost everything. If you lose your soul, what have you lost? Everything. Everything. And Paul's trying to bring them into an awareness here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, listen, you can have all of these spiritual strengths. You can look like a great Christian. But if you don't have love, it hasn't benefited you at all. Now, let's ask these questions. And again, think personally about this. Have we labored in vain? Have you labored in vain? While you're living here on this earth in a religious way, have you labored in vain? Have you or I wasted hour upon hour at worship services? You know, we check our boxes, right? We're here. But you know what Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians 13? He said, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you show up for worship service. You don't have love in your heart. Guess what? It doesn't benefit you at all. Have you wasted hours and hours and hours of time at worship? Now, again, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that this is wasted, because there are other people that are probably getting a benefit. They're being encouraged by you being here. Maybe it's helped them in some way become a Christian. But I'm talking about you as an individual. One of these days at the judgment, have you wasted your time at worship? Have you or I wasted thousands and thousands of dollars in support of our congregation? Each week, we take up a collection, right? Each week, you support the work of the local congregation. I want to know, has all of those thousands of dollars been wasted when it comes to you and eternity? What about this? Have we wasted our good deeds and our benevolent activities? Yeah, we engage in them, but maybe there's an ulterior motive. Maybe we think we're going to get some benefit in return for that, or maybe we just like the fact that it makes me look good. Have you wasted all of the good deeds and all of the benevolent activities you've been engaged in? What about this? Have we wasted study after study after study on God's Word? Maybe we've studied our Bible because we like to be considered the smartest person in the room, and we might be able to answer all of the questions, and everybody can look at it and say, oh, wow, he knows all of this information. But have we studied because we love God and we want to be more like Him, and because we want to share the good news of God's Word with other people so they can be saved? Is that the motive behind what we're doing? You've got to ask yourself these questions. Because you see, if we're not people of love, every time you've been here has been wasted. Every dime you've ever given to the Lord has been in vain. Every good deed you've ever done has been for naught. Every hour of study you've put into God's Word, no benefit. That's sobering, isn't it? And it's serious. But that's not me talking, folks. That's the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. He said, again, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and I understand all mysteries, and have all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, you know what? It benefits me? Nothing. I gain nothing from that. So I want to know, your time and your money, has it been wasted? Today's the day to put away childish things. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's arrogance. I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know if it's rudeness. I don't know if it's bitterness. Whatever it is, if you've got an issue in dealing with people like this, if you can't deal with them in love, if you can't be a person of love, if you've got bitterness towards other people, it is time to put it away. It is time to get over it. It is time to become people of love and throw away the childish behaviors that are not going to benefit us a thing. You know, we're closing out a year. 2019 is coming to a close. decide right now, 2019 will be the last time that I allow these things to affect me this way. I'm not going to live with bitterness. I'm not going to live with jealousy. I'm not going to live with arrogance or boasting or rudeness, competitiveness. I'm going to live in a way where God's love shows through me. Now, we've talked about, has all this been wasted? I hope that you'll think about your life today. I hope that if you're not a Christian, you'll think about what you need to do in order to be right with God so that you can have all of your sins washed away and you can start the new year out on a high. You can finish this old year on a high and start the new one on a high spiritually. God loves you, and it was that love for you that caused Him to send His Son, that demonstration of His love, so that you could be saved. If you'll repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away those sins, you can be saved. Be saved because of the love that God has for you, and then you can start sharing that love with other people. Or it may be that as you have been sitting here this morning, you've thought about your life, and you've thought, you know, I've lived with bitter jealousy in my heart, and bitterness and envy, and maybe I've behaved in an arrogant way. Maybe I've not treated the people around me the way that I should. I'm not focused on what's most important. I've not loved the way that I should love. And I need to start over, and I need to make that right with God. Don't let this be for naught. Make sure that you're right with God. If you need to respond, do so while we stand and sing.